Hello, this is Kathy Cook with the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. We are bridging wisdom tonight with how people act and behave. I'm choosing this subject within the past 5 minutes due to some situations that have been arising. I want to discuss with you guys what assertive behavior is, and unassertive behavior is, and aggressive behavior. I studied, first of all, I want to give my credentials. I studied human services as well as many other things for 168 credit hours with a 3.9 average. I studied all types of behaviors in people and looked at myself. I had to look at myself in order to understand the aspects of being a counselor. I had to walk through many, many things. I had to look raw at myself. And I now know why this world is being destroyed. People are destroying themselves and not loving themselves, therefore acting out towards others. God's really upset with this situation. He gave us free will. He gave us the choice of free will. He loved us so much, He gave us free will to act and be and do however we wanted. But in order to survive and evolve, we're to give up our free will to follow God the way that He perceives us to do, listening with our hearts, what's written on our hearts, not man-made by people, places, and things that have been placed on us since birth, and using attitudes. Attitude is gratitude. Our attitude makes up 98% of how we're going to accomplish ourselves in this world and how we're going to move in this world. There's a passive behavior, which people are afraid to speak up and they let people walk all over them. The assertive behavior person, they talk all over others and they never give another person a chance to talk. And an assertive behavior just speaks very openly. A passive person speaks very softly, where an aggressive behavior speaks very loudly and abruptly. In assertive behavior, they use a conversational tone. The passive behavior person avoids looking at people. The aggressive behavior glares and stares down at another. The assertive person, they make eye contact at all times. If someone can't look you in the eye, then they're hiding something, aren't they? If someone can't look you in the eye, what are they doing? If they look hard in your eyes and look down on you as they do. See, you have to put into play all body language. A passive behavior shows no expression. An assertive behavior intimidates others with their expressions. But an assertive person shows expressions that match the message. A passive person slouches and withdraws themselves. An aggressive behavior person stands rigidly with their arms crossed to invade others' personal space. But an assertive person relaxes and adopts an open posture with expression. Passive behaviors, they isolate themselves from groups. Aggressive behavior controls the groups. Assertive behavior participates in the groups. A passive behavior agrees with others despite their own feelings. An aggressive behavior only considers their very own feelings and demands of others, constantly demanding of others. An assertive behavior speaks to the point. A passive behavior values the self less than others. An aggressive behavior values themselves more than others. But an assertive behavior values themselves as an equal. A passive behavior hurts self to avoid hurting others. An aggressive behavior hurts others to avoid being hurt. But an assertive behavior tries to hurt no one, including themselves. Another way a passive behavior does not reach their goals, they don't really have any goals. They don't even care about goals. But an aggressive behavior reaches their goals, but hurting all people and others in the process. An assertive behavior usually reaches their goals without alienating others. A passive behavior says, you're okay, but I'm not. An aggressive behavior says, I'm okay, and you're not. But an assertive behavior, I'm okay, and you're okay. Now I want to talk about attacks. Attacks on people. What is attacking someone? Isn't that forceful and violent and hostile? It's an aggressive way. You don't have to have a weapon, but you will fight and attack with hostility to start an offense against someone as an attack. You start to blame and abuse violently and bitterly, to direct unfavorable criticisms against someone or other things, to criticize severely, to start an argument very strongly, and attack the other person's statement called their opponent. They try to destroy with verbal abuse or undermining or reprimanding. They try to set out to go to work on things vigorously to attack anything that gets in their way because they are being so aggressive. Attacks are, they start with hostilities, something underlying themselves. And then the attack is onslaught with assault. I'm not talking about military defenses against the enemy. I'm talking about a person. At the beginning or initiation of any action or onset that triggers a person to act out of aggressiveness and hostility towards attack, they usually begin with something that has triggered it, like being put in their place by the assertive person, by telling them how, the assertive person telling exactly how they feel in a situation in a very nice manner, but an aggressive person has to attack because they don't know any other way, because they are forcible, hostile, violent, with intent. An attack is most generally related to something inside themselves, to ambush something, to have something continuously they repeat the same thing, or they repeat an attack of a situation that is going to give them most gain of feeling power. It's their defense, and it's they're defending themselves in ways of making themselves feel safe inside themselves so that they don't have to be accounted for their own actions. Now, I just wanted to relate that to you guys because it seems that this world is, people are wanting to know what's happening with this world and why it's turning the way it is. And aren't we out here to give out love and understanding and compassion and caring? I know that I share what I share openly, even though I have many opportunities to make a lot of money on what I get and what I do. My words come from the spirit. I've walked my walk. I talk my talk. And I'm assertive. A lot of people that are aggressive in this world, they have issues from when they were born or whenever. But the thing is that you got to look at one thing real strong. You got to look at why you act the way you do. Just like I look at why I act the way I do. Because if we don't, I don't know what's going on, but something in the sky. But if we don't look at ourselves and really understand ourselves, then how in the world is this world going to heal itself? Everybody's all about healing. Everybody's all about, but they talk it, but they don't walk it. You know, this is not a dress rehearsal we're here on earth with. This is real. And it's how we're going to get to the other side. And you can fake it. You can pretend that you really, really believe your own lies and your deceit. You can act like you're just you got to realize, and I say you to every one of you active listeners out there, that if you want to get that road to heaven's side is narrow, and this world is destroying itself. God said to me, I loved you before love was just a word, before the words I love you were even spoken out and heard. And he spoke that to me to write in a poem. He said my first words were, let there be. And that's when he created, let there be light. Let there be oceans and separating from the heavens. Let there be animals and creatures roaming the world. And let there be people. Let there be. He created in 7 days. I could go on and on and tell you about his let there be, but he told me in a poem that I wrote that got first place, which doesn't really matter because it was just words that I put on paper that God spoke to me. He said, I'm going to let their teardrops are faltering far beyond my sound, and I'm going to let there be until there is no more ground. And boy, is that happening. Because you know what? It's all about how we act and how we behave. You know, respect. What is respect? What is respect? Ask yourself that. Do you respect yourself? Are you proud of who you are? Do you honor who you are? Are you real with yourself? Or are you, a lot of times people love to learn from me, and I love to teach it. I'll give out anything. But then they take that as their own identity, and they use that as their own, you know, that's who they are. But I'm going to tell you what. You got to live it. You got to walk it. You got to feel it. You got to experience it. I could pick up a synopsis in a book, and I can read it, and I could probably pass the test. But did I experience and really understand and really comprehend what that book was expressing? Or did I get half pieces of it and then go out there and say, I'm a master at that? Masterhood and being a master in this world in all the ways of teachings, you have to live it. And be so in tuned. Because you've died so many times, or you've gone through hell so many times, and you want to look at yourself when you come out of it, and be in tune to yourself so that you can be in tune to others. If you hear me taking a couple little breaks here and there, that's just bear with me because I've got a lot of health issues going on right now. So, anyway, what I want to say is we need to think of a tree, okay? I want you to think of a tree. I want you to think of a tree limb that's been ripped or split off. And it's half hanging. I had a dogwood tree in my front yard growing up with my children that I had transplanted. And you have to transplant trees the exact facing the same way that you took them out or they'll die because they're used to growing in that sun, that direction. And if you turn them around, then they won't really survive because they're lost inside the world. But I had this dogwood tree that my children ran over with their bicycle and it broke it. Happened. I mean, it was just holding on by just little splits at the end, about midway down its trunk, and it was probably only about 4 feet high. And I went inside, and I got 2 popsicle sticks and a Band-Aid and some rapid grow. And I placed it in there with some of my spit. My mother-in-law said, that tree's not going to make it. It's not going to grow. And I said, yes, it will. It's got its splint, and it's got the Band-Aids around it because it was a small tree. It wasn't even any bigger than the size of my, maybe 2 fingers. Do you know that tree where it's broke and where I mended it is the strongest point of that entire tree now? Because it is just like when you break and when your heart's broken or when you hurt and you learn from it with love and care, then that's when you genuinely will gain the strength and endurance, and that will become your strong point. If you hear those little blink blinks on my computer, that's Skype. The other thing I want to say is that many people along the way are seeking who they are and where they come from, what they're doing out there in this world, and going around in circles, going around like bumping cars, bumping into the sides of the walls and everything. You know, if you let God be the automatic pilot, and you just sit there and be the passenger, you won't get lost, you won't bump into those walls, you won't have all the trauma in your life that you have today. Because what's happening is the aggressive versus the assertive is happening. People can't stand to be told no, or can't stand to be told that they, something that affects another person. It's just like, they can't, it tears them up because, see, when we're born, we have the id, the ID, the id, the person. Then at age 2 to 2.5, we start noticing ourselves in the mirror. And we recognize ourselves in the mirror and we go, hey, I'm a person. I'm a little person. And therefore, when the parent or when someone tells that child no, they go all over themselves because they know they're a person. And how dare that other big person tell that little person that they can't do something? So therefore, the ego is born. Now, we need the ego because we have to have that good part of ourselves that keep us not letting other people run all over us and not letting things affect us because it's affecting their world and standing up for ourselves. But then you've got that other part of the ego that is controlling and manipulating and talk, it's self-talk, like telling a person's head, are you going to let them talk to you that way? How dare them do that self-talk that you don't even know that's going on in your head. Now, when something affects me by somebody else's actions or the environment, I'm at the point in my life, evolved enough to stay in the moment, that if that affects me right then and there, if I have to, I have a rocking chair, because worry's like a rocking chair. It gets me nowhere, so I keep a rock in my rocking chair. And I pick up that rock because I have to keep all my rocks that I carry around in my life out of my way, emptying them. And so I pick up that rock that's bothering me, and I say, why is this affecting me? What is it that is affecting me, and why, what can I do about it? It doesn't have to be the exact same thing. Maybe it's something that I'm being ignored over, you know, and that's bothering me because I've been ignored and I've been trying to get in touch with somebody, say to give them a bridal shower. And they keep ignoring me. And, you know, maybe they're busy. But maybe I am too, and I'm going out of my way to do that because I love and care for them. So I have to look at that. Why is this ignoring me affecting me? Well, what I learned from that is I have let my body go. I have let my physical ability of my personhood go for so long because I am so involved in getting the positive power message out to the universe and to whoever can hear me. And I don't take time enough to take care of my own human body because I'm so adamant that I believe in people and I believe in so much that the world can change that I have not taken care of myself and I have ignored myself. That's what I learned from that lesson. And now my health is at the point to where it's pretty serious. Another thing I want to touch on is when somebody dies, my analogy of when somebody dies, God created me in one image, and that was his soul. He loved me and gave me an image of his soul. He gave me a spirit. He gave me a body to house it in. And he gave me two gifts. He gave me the gift of breath, which he breathed into me, God's breath. And then he gave me the gift of human beings to reproduce. The rest is man-made. Now, that's when people, places, and things put things in other people, places, and things' mind. I'm going to stress that because we're here with two gifts, breath and reproduce. He said, go out and multiply and make many nations. Now, the thing is that in order to evolve and to know, you can know like a hunch or intuition that we're all born with. That's correct. But in order to deeply really get into mastering, helping other people, is moving yourself totally out of the way, your ego totally out of the way, and helping them see themselves by what they express and not by giving them a self-fulfilling prophecy to go out there and make what I or what anyone has told them, seeking counsel, perceives in them. Because a person will take that is hurt and lost, and they will hang on to every word a person says, and they'll go out there and make that their self-fulfilling prophecy, and they'll feel like that they can't do anything unless that's the right thing, because they can't think for themselves, they can't see for themselves. But they can be very aggressive and very, 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 very attacking to other people. It's just mind-blowing, because we want to know what's going on in this world. Why is it shifting? Why is it changing? Because it's all about the me, 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 me. Look at me, look at me, because the ego has gotten so big in so many people that they can't tolerate being told no and being talked over. I tell you what, my family is one of the main families that I can't even get a word in edgewise. I am talked like right over, and that's okay, because I do, after they finally get a breath, I tell them exactly how I'll say. In other words, this is what I hear you saying. And I'll repeat back what the person's saying, but in my words of understanding. And that's an active listener. An active listening, a listener, is taking the cotton out of their mouth, out of their ears, and placing it in their mouth and listening. Today's times, you think that it's watch for the times. Watch for the times. Seeing it, it's listen for the times. Because I tell you what, Satan is working hard. He's working his ass off. He wants his 11-11 to be healed, which that's the Orion, which is the brightest star, which God gave him the brightest star in the sky, which is raising the vibrations to heal the Orion, which is, he is disguised as the brightest light. He's disguised as the angel of light. People are so wondering what's wrong with them. Well, they're calling on the light, the brightest light, or the, you know, the light of the world, the light of God. Not just the light, because the light is the disguise of Satan. Satan plants seeds in people's heads. He plants seeds all in people's heads to cause doubt, but he's cunning. He will give you a lot of compliment. Oh, you're good. You know, do good thing. And then he'll slide this slithering self right on in there with some deceptions. I tell you, it's not too pretty out there today. And I'm really honored to go to the other side whenever it is time, because I know what's over there, and I know my vessel's clean, and I know where I'm going. I'm getting a little tired. And I'm not giving up, but I'm really tired, and I'm really sick, and I've held it in a long time. And the thing is that Who cares but me? If I don't care for myself, who's going to care for me? Who's going to help me? Nobody. I'm tired and exhausted of all these years and years and years of putting this message out there and getting so slandered and so ridiculed and so demeaned over it for standing my ground of what I believe in and know that I have a direct channel to the Lord thy God. And I speak what He speaks to me in my heart. And if I tell somebody to stop, if I tell somebody that I don't like something, I'm sick and tired of them attacking me. And I'm going to use the word attack. I have been brutally attacked. I have been brutally beaten, raped, held hostage, killed and brought back to life, killed and brought back to life by Butch. In 1998, I suffer from PTSD. I will admit it because it is something I have. But what gets me is when people say, me, Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, attacks other people. Because I know what an attack is and I know what it feels like. But if I'm assertive out there and I tell somebody how I feel, then they become an attacker to me. They become aggressive to me. It just happened on Facebook, for an example. Let me give you that an example. Hold on a second. I light cigarettes because I smoke. But anyway, I asked someone to, if they wouldn't mind just putting a post or two on my page instead of posting 100 times over one into one place, you know, one thing. They would just write a sentence, post. You know, why not just write it all out and then post it? Well, that person got so upset. It blew my mind. It just mind boggled me. And then they have the audacity to compare their body and their health with what I'm going through. It didn't hurt me because I can only allow anything to affect me that I choose to hurt me. But I realized that when I ask God to clean sweep people, places, and things out of my life that are not healthy for me and not good for me, for my path, and to bring into my life people, places, and things, then He does that. And sometimes that's just the way He shows me that this person's not good or healthy for me. You know, I'm not one to delete a person or to block a person. You know, that's up to them and that's their childish behavior. It's very childish and sad. Because most people, if you think about it, are really childish. It's their immature ego, their self-ego, the whiny child inside that has never been acknowledged by the adult self. Now, what I did in a class in college, I wrote to myself and studied how to get in touch with my wounded inner child. There's a book out there somewhere called The Wounded Inner Child that we used in the class. But I had to acknowledge my inner child, which is all my past. I mean, from this moment back. And I had to let my inner self know that my adult self sees and acknowledges all that I went through as a child. And that I still love it. And that I'm here for it. And I had to let my wounded inner child know that I was sorry for letting it down while I was a child and didn't take care of it. I wrote with my opposite hand. I'm left-handed, so I wrote with my right hand a letter to my adult self. And I said, "Dear Kathy," I'm just thinking out loud because I've got the letters written down there on the internet, but I said, "Why have you abandoned me? Why do you not love me anymore? Why don't you listen to me when I talk? Why do I have to act out in order to get your attention? Why do you continuously ignore me. And I went on and on and on, because that was the wounded inner child talking to my adult self, the ego part. And then my adult self wrote with my left hand, because I'm a left-hander, and I said, "Dear Tassie," that's my nickname as a kid, so that's how you can do it any way you want to. You can use a nickname, or you can make up a pen name or whatever for your wounded inner child. But I wrote from my adult self with my adult hand, and I said, "I am so sorry I have left you out. I am so sorry I have not played enough with you. I'm so sorry that you feel that I don't love you, because you're the most important to me in my whole being, because without you I would not be whole." And I let my wounded inner child know that its actions and its acting out were acknowledged and understood, and I understood why. And so therefore, that's another way I keep my vessel clean. I'm excelling out there. I've got opportunities to, you know, go public with my teachings and work and my deep root readings. I don't charge for them. I will never charge for them, because it was freely given to me. But I can sure, buddy, make up a donation for people that can't get their teeth fixed because of the dental insurance. Or I can make up a, you know, like a, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, but I'm working on it. I have to get a couple of lawyers and have a, you know, I don't want to call it a rescue fund. I don't want to call it a, you know, I want to help people. That's what I'm here to do. I want to help people be able, like a friend of mine that had a baby, their daughter had a baby, and they didn't have enough gas money to get down there to see the baby and be with the daughter. I want to be able to provide that for other people. And the only thing I can think of to do is to get my work out there, publish my books, which are already written and some published in pen names, but I just don't broadcast it. I don't make the money off of it. And get out there and stand on a platform, if God willing, helps me with my health, and I help myself with my health, and produce enough money to help the people that really want to help other people. I will be screening it, you know, not just Joe Blow off the street, but they have to be on the same mission to help other people. And that's the way it's going to be. And that's the Positive Power Productions. If you go to httppositivepowerproductions.com, that's what that's going to be, and that's why there's only an introduction page. Another thing I want to touch base on is why I ask myself why. Well, I have to remember, look at the what, when, where, how. And there's my why. If anyone wants to call in tonight, the number's on the front of BBS Radio Station 1. I'm not streaming through Blog Talk right now, but I will upload this archive to Blog Talk for others to hear. I feel that there's someone out there that really, really wants to call in, and it's pulling on me. It's pulling on me hard. Not that they want to question anything or they want advice. They want to just put their input about how they feel this world is going and what they've learned and what they've accomplished. So I'm going to take a little breather a minute, maybe 2 minutes, and I'll be right back. What I'll do, I just walked away, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to play a song or something for somebody. Maybe that way they can, you know, get something out of it. Let me find something to play, and I'm going to take a few minutes while this is playing to just chill out a minute. Because I want to change the whole subject off of people, places, and things and get on to something else that's a little calmer.
To cleanse your aura, you can use either your clear crystal points, you can use your pendulum, or if you prefer, you can use one or both of your hands, just as you did when you were feeling the aura. You might like to try different ways and see what works for you. The wonderful thing about cleansing your aura is you don't have to think about it any more than you have to think about brushing your hair. You just let your hand do it and you will be guided to the parts where you've got those knots and you feel them. This time, we're going to start right out by the cosmos. And we're going to move in through the layers right until you get back to your physical hair. So I'm not going to say to you, feel the membranes, because it would just happen and your pendulum or your hands or your crystal point would just naturally flow through them. So think of the levels, but also think of the aura as a whole now and how all the levels are going to flow together. When you feel ready, pick up your pendulum, pick up your crystal point, or use your hands and start to move anti-clockwise against the clock, pausing when you feel one of those knots, smoothing when you feel something jagged, and giving just a little extra rub when you feel deadness, although we'll work much more with that when we're energizing. Carry on brushing just as if it was your physical hair that you hadn't brushed for a couple of days. And after 2 or 3 minutes, it will start to feel smooth. It will start to flow. And at this point, you'll be ready to energize. Okay, I'm back, and I feel a little bit better, but I just want to say to the people out there that don't believe in pendulums, crystals, and all that stuff, I have a pendulum that's in my head that will move up and down when I'm onto something, left and right. When I need to look at it as a no, it'll go into a spiral for me to understand that there's more to what I'm questioning.
when I'm looking within myself, and it will go clockwise when I'm opening a circle to cast into myself to center myself, as well as when you go backwards, it closes it. Some people think that's weird that are Christians, but you know what? God gives us tools for many things. And another thing that I've learned is that if I keep myself truthful with myself and I don't lie to myself to justify my wrongdoings, then I act accordingly out there in the world. Now, a lot of times, our energy, our personhood, our attitudes, our ways and actions, it rubs off into the world. It rubs off to the other people. It combusts out there because all we are is energy. That's all that we are. And what I think I'm going to become and what I speak will evolve. That's just like Matthew 7:7. My grandmother used to say all the time, ask, receive, seek and find, knock and the door will be open to me. I don't care too much for plagiarism, and I don't care too much for people not having their own ideas and their own identity. I don't care too much for people boasting about themselves. I don't care too much about any of that. All I care about is let me see it. Let me see your actions. Let me read about your actions that you're genuine and authentic. To be authentic and be a real person. Another thing is there's groups. You know, we start with an id, and then we have a dyad. This is a sociology thing. A dyad is two people. Then we have a triad, which is more than one person. That's like me and, say, my sister, and then she brings in a friend. Well, then that means any friend of hers is a friend of mine. And then that branches off to that person bringing in another person or whatever. Before you know it, you have a group. Now I want to get to groups, because maybe, let's say, the fifth person that brought in the sixth person decides they don't like the first person because they seem to think in their own head that they're the ones that have the power. They're the ones that think they're so great because they started the friendships of the group. Well, that's their ego and their wounded inner child saying, I want to be the best. Well, isn't everybody the best? Do you know the story of Jonathan Livingston Seagull? Well, that is by Bach. And he wrote about Jonathan Livingston Seagull being in a flock, just like a group, just like I was talking about. But the mat, it was time to eat all together, he wanted to practice his flips and upside down flights and stuff. He wanted to get best as he could be. Well, the master of the group didn't like that. He wanted Jonathan to only learn what he taught him, and he wanted to control the group, which we needed somebody to control the group, but we need to work it together. So he kicked Jonathan Livingston Seagull out of the flock, and he told every member, every seagull in that flock that was learning to fly and master themselves, that if they talked to Jonathan Livingston Seagull, if they had anything to do with Jonathan Livingston Seagull, they too would be kicked out of the flock as well. Well, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, he went on and he said, well, I can soar as high as this mountain. I can do flips in the air. I can catch my fish. And he mastered and he mastered and he mastered. He went so high he became invisible. And no one could see him. It didn't really matter to Jonathan Livingston Seagull because he was on his own. And he was like, that's the way it's going to be. But gradually, little by little, the other members of the flock saw the mastering that Jonathan Livingston Seagull was doing and would come to him secretly. And he would teach them. And he would show them everything he knew because he knew that if he didn't give it out, then he would never gain any more. And he knew that if he didn't give it out, then he wouldn't. What use was it for him to learn if he did not share what he had learned and what he had mastered? Gradually, an old, old, old master that had passed away, a seagull that was in the flock, came to a couple of them while they were working with Jonathan. And he too gave his secrets and understandings to his masterhood. Gradually, everybody left the flock and came to Jonathan. But they were shunned out of their own flock. So basically, the moral of that story is that everybody's their own master. Everybody's on their own. And everybody has the choice to share freely what has been so freely given to them. But you think of it like a child. Everybody, as God says, be as childlike as you possibly can to understand and hear me. And if you think of it like that, when I was growing up as a child, I would have never talked back to my mother or father. I would have never not shared things. I would have never thought to behave out in public anyway but the most proper form. That's how I was raised and structured, and to highly respect every person because I don't know what their day is like. I don't know how they are in their own home. I don't know what's going on in their world unless we sit down and discuss it and we look into it. Another thing my father stressed to me is my credit was my name. He said that to me as I walked down the aisle to get married. I thought he was leaning over to kiss me, but all he said was, your credit is your name. I, at 19, thought that was a credit card. I thought that was a check, you know. But what I've learned today, as he's passed on, and he's called my listener, because he used to say, you just don't listen, but that's my listener. Is my credit is how I behave in this world. My credit is how I give out and how I receive. My credit is how I am sought after or looked at in this world today, by staying in my truth, by keeping my vessel clean, by keeping my side of the street clean, by not malicious gossip, by not talking about other people, and by always keeping my eyes up and out and not down and out. Because if I look down and out, I could stumble and fall. Seth, with that, I'm going to be off the air. It's been a great evening. Bless you, everybody. Blessed be one's name. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom. And next week we have a new time, which will be Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. That's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in, and I'll see you out there. Thank you, BBS Radio, and thank you, Seth, for all that you've done. And thank you, Don Newsom and Doug Newsom. I'm off the air.